Welcome everyone. This is Long Shots, the first edition, our first ever podcast. Sharad, are you excited?
I'm very excited, Nikhil.
Great. So what are we doing here?
Let's start by talking about the Indian rupee, man. I was reading the news and sort of tracking it closely. It's really falling off. Like, I mean, close to 72 bucks to a dollar now. Like, I haven't seen these levels for a really long time now. What's happening?
I think what's actually happening, and there are some real problems, but there are also some problems which are pretty much the figment of imagination of foreign investors. The real problem first, I mean, as you know that we are a net importer of oil, almost 80% of our crude oil comes from overseas. So we end up buying a lot of dollars all over the year, and crude oil prices have been going up steadily. Last I checked, it was around $77 on Brent crude.
Yeah.
So that contingency has always been going on, and that's the reason why rupee has steadily, you know, declined from 65 trailing all towards, you know, 67, 68. Panic really struck when it crossed 70, and that happened pretty much because of the Turkish lira crisis, which unfolded in the late half of August. And suddenly the entire investor community clubbed, you know, India, Turkey, South Africa, Philippines, all in this one big bucket of emerging markets, and started punishing the currency, which I think is a bit of an overreaction, to be fair. The real thing to be concerned here about is the rising crude oil prices, which is a real effect. And the second one would be the increase of interest rates in the US.
It's very, very interesting you say that. I remember you and I, we were having this conversation, I think it was February or March earlier in the year, and we pretty much called it. I mean, this is what we were talking about, that, you know, it will be interesting to see where the dollar goes, especially because the Fed starts raising rates, and, you know, the developed world, the Western world, we haven't seen them raise rates for a really long time. And add to that rising oil prices, it's sort of, you know, makes it very difficult for an emerging market to sort of gauge or drive growth. And very interesting to look forward to the next, I guess, a year or so and see how it goes.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, very few people actually step back and think that for the last 8 to 10 years, the Sensex and Nifty, they were booming, not just because of the fundamental strength of the economy and the corporate sector, but pretty much also because rates were at an all-time low in the US, in the rich world, and all the foreign investors have flocked to the emerging markets. And now that entire equation has flipped. And so that always has an overhanging contingency factor on all other aspects of the economy. Currency is one, and the second one would be how you see the government of India bond yields are going up. It just crossed 8%.
That's very interesting.
Great. So leaving this aside, the second big thing in my mind is, did you see my WhatsApp message yesterday on Fortis?
I did, but I conveniently ignored it. Well, I have followed a little bit. I know those brothers are skating on thin ice, right? I mean, what's going on though?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's pretty much sufficient material for a Netflix series. I don't know why they did games to start with, you know. So the entire background is pretty interesting. So, you know, the Singh brothers, Shivinder and Malvinder Singh, they are no longer the promoters of Fortis, which just got recently sold to IHH Healthcare, which is this Malaysian healthcare company, because Fortis was going through this big episode of financial turmoil. The more interesting thing is that what was that exact turmoil? Well, the Singh brothers are apparently big followers of Gurinder Singh Dhindon, who is this holy man who heads Radha Swami Satsang, this religious sect based in Punjab with over 4 million followers. And the main allegations against them have been that they have basically siphoned off funds from the Fortis group, including, you know, the RHC holding, which is the main holding company, to Radha Swami Satsang, over 25 billion rupees.
Oh, wow. That's the Netflix angle now.
Exactly. And so, yeah, there's a holy man, there are two brothers, they're moving money from their listed company over a span of years. And not just this, I mean, there have also been some other crazy investments that the Fortis group has made under the Singh brothers. Like, for instance, did you know that they actually have, there was a time when they started an airline?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So there was an airline in which they put in 9 billion rupees, which went bust. So what is interesting is that on 4th of September, and that is basically the WhatsApp message that I sent you, Mr. Shivinder Singh finally kind of distanced himself from his brother through a press release, blaming pretty much everything on him, throwing him under the bus, saying he colluded with another person by the name of Sunil Gulwani, whose background I won't go into. But if you are really interested in this, even though you have shown no evidence regarding this particular episode, the best way would be just check out a story which Bloomberg did mid-August, which pretty much spells out where the funds move from Fortis, into Radha Swami Satsang as well. All the other funky investments that these guys have done, which went bad.
Sure, I guess I'll check that out. Or you know what? Rather just wait for the Netflix show to come out.
So the next thing is, I think we were about to talk about the Coke and Costa acquisition. Do you know Costa very well?
Not as well as probably you would know. Like, I've lived sort of in North America and India, and sort of Starbucks has been the go-to place. But I understand it's the biggest coffee retail chain in UK. You've lived in UK, is that correct?
So Costa is pretty much like a more, I would say, premium version of Starbucks. I mean, yeah, it's there in London and UK everywhere. There are over, I think, 4,000 outlets. And Coke finally bought it for $5.1 billion. Costa is also present in some places in Asia. They are in India in select places. They're also in China. I think they have around 450 stores there. What's interesting here is how, you know, more and more sugar-based drink manufacturers like Coke and Pepsi are trying to distance themselves from their sugary past, diversifying into different assets such as coffee. Like, Coke bought Costa, like you must have seen Pepsi also bought SodaStream recently, which is like this carbonated water-based drinks manufacturer. So it's pretty interesting, you know, how they are able to kind of reposition themselves or rebrand themselves and, you know, think of any revenue and cost synergies out of there.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about revenue synergies. I think it's at 16 times 2018 EBITDA, so seems about like a significant premium in the price. But it'll be interesting. I mean, it's sort of, you clearly are seeing coffee and tea emerge as interesting choices of beverage from diversification perspective. I think the market's at 0.5 trillion now, and coffee worldwide.
Oh, wow.
So it seems interesting to track that going forward. But yeah, there's lots happening in the beverage and FMCG space. I mean, we have Patanjali as our homegrown FMCG player as well. And let's see how coffee makes, if it does, and make any inroads into their strategy.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's interesting because Coke and Pepsi are pretty much marketing companies now. They have kind of gone beyond their initial, you know, cycle of manufacturing. So, I mean, it's all about branding. And $5.1 billion is a drop in the ocean.
And what a brand to have.
Definitely, definitely. So yeah, I think we are about to wrap up, and there's some things to watch out for. As you know, I now write regularly every Friday on different aspects of the Indian economy as well as the financial system, and we'll be out with a story on Friday on education loans. I think Sharad, you're also writing something on theatrical videos.
Yeah, right? I'm trying to, after my piece on Netflix and sort of Amazon Prime Video, I'm going to take a crack at the theatrical windows and sort of why it's being talked about so extensively in the Western world and some to an extent even in the Indian context. So I'll try to get that out on Saturday.
And the much awaited piece that we usually have on Sunday would be again on nutrition from Dr. A.K. Chopra. This time he's going to respond to loads of questions which have come in over the past couple of weeks on his articles in an FAQ style format that will come out on Sunday. So do check these out on transfin.in. And yeah, so this is Nikhil.
And this is Sharad
signing off.